This is the BBC.
This podcast is supported by advertising outside the UK.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
This is the BBC.
This is the Finger Licking, Lip Smacking, Cooking with Paula podcast from The John Toll Show on BBC Radio Ulster.
27 minutes to 12, Paula McIntyre's in the kitchen making a squash, chestnut and spinach petit vier with black garlic gravy.
Wow. So vegetarian, but with lots of taste. You know, I think that's the thing, isn't it? You know, we've got to move on from the bland, not roast, don't we?
Yeah, and there are quite a few places now where you go to that are vegetarian, but you don't notice.
No, I know. Well, that's so true, isn't it? It's great. I mean, there's a couple of places, and I've sort of driven away and thought, wait a wee minute, that place was actually vegetarian, which is the way it should be, isn't it?
Yeah, you know,
it
absolutely. Should be.
Really, really good food and doing sort of different things with vegetables and trying to heighten the flavour.
It's just hard to do that at home, isn't it? You need a wee bit of imagination and you need a wee bit of skill to make something different and tasty when it's just vegetarian.
I think roasting vegetables, doing that kind of thing really helps, you know, rather than just boiling them. But this petit vier is sort of something that you could nearly make it now, John, and then stick it in the freezer and bring it out, you know, on Christmas
and
Day.
And it's a pie. A petit vier is like a
big sort of dome shaped pie, or you can make small ones. Now, I've given the recipe for rough puff pastry, but you can obviously just go out and buy a block. But to be honest with you, it's worth it to make it. Puff pastry you buy is vegan. You make it yourself, you're putting in loads of butter. So it's really just, you know, it's a matter of just chopping or grating ice cold butter into strong bread flour, rubbing it together, making it into a paste, you know, into a dough with some cold water. And then you just, it's all about the rolling. You roll it into a rectangle and then you fold the two ends into the middle. You twist it around, you roll it again, and then you chill it and you do it again. But I've given all the instructions. It seems a wee bit of a fluff, but once you've done it once, you know, and I think I did it in school. I remember doing it in school and it sort of sticks with you. It's one of the very few things I remember from school, actually.
Yeah, we never did anything like that in school.
No, we did, but, you know, it was sort of, you know, but that's what I took away from it. I took it away from, you know, 7 years of school.
So you fold that up and then you leave it then?
Just chill it. And even if you want to make the pastry in advance, you could. But I, to be honest with you, when I'm making this pastry, I double up and then, you know, because I'm going to go through that effort, I double it up, use whatever I need and then cut it in half and, you know, stick the rest in the freezer, you know, so just so you always have a wee bit, because it's so good, John. It's so good. It's worth it, honestly. Really.
And you can taste the butter. I mean, if you're a butter person, you can taste the difference.
Yeah, definitely. So that's the pastry made. And then for the filling, we've got butternut squash. And again, just cut it in half, you know, through the middle. So you've got the seedy bit on one side and the other bit on the other. And I normally just peel that with a peeler, scoop out the seeds, cut it into wedges, cut the top bit into wedges, bit of salt, bit of oil, and then put that in straight into the oven and just roast it till it's nice and soft and it becomes golden. And again, you've got a nice taste there. If you can get your hand on any fresh sage, or if you've got some sage in the garden,
Yeah, well, I see the sage. Well. I see it's back in the shops again.
It hasn't been.
No. Is it just a sage just for stuffing and Christmas, really?
No.
I don't.
I use it all the time. I use it with squash. It's lovely with it is lovely with a stuffing, but you know, it's nice. You know, there's a really nice recipe, you know, an Italian recipe where if you want to fry off some fish and then at the end just fry the sage leaves in butter and throw in a few capers and lemon juice and put that over your, you know, it's really delicious. Mm. So sage, I think, is one of those things. It shouldn't just be for Christmas, John.
Right. It should be for life and not just for Christmas.
You've got them and then another, really like a stuffing here, and that's just onions, red onions cooked in butter, and then rosemary and chestnuts. Again, you can buy the chestnuts, vacuum packed, you know, in a bag, mm-hmm. already done for you. But I noticed chestnuts in the shops, and if you roast your chestnuts
on an open fire.
Yes.
With Jack Frost nipping at your nose.
Exactly.
I wouldn't know what to do with a chestnut, to be honest.
Well, if you want to roast them, a very important thing to do is slit the side with a knife and then just put them into the oven and give them a roast. I actually have a chestnut roaster that I got from a blacksmith in Akadui. It's brilliant. And it's like a lovely saucer that's got, you know, perforated holes in it and a big long, you know, shaft, and then you stick that into your coal and you get that lovely taste.
Nobody else I know would have said that sentence. Nobody else I know would have a chestnut roaster made in a Hadoo.
As it was coming out of my mouth, this is the only time that sentence is going to be uttered in Radio Ulster today.
Made the by a blacksmith in a Hadoo.
Yeah, exactly. But everybody should have one, you know. Obviously, you go to the supermarket and you can buy them all done. And then just chop that all up. Chop your chestnuts up, fry the onions off, put a wee bit of balsamic in it, and then just, right. You know, to sort of glaze that whole mm-hmm. thing. Let it cool. I've crumbled in a wee bit of feta cheese, which I think adds a lovely seasoning and creaminess to the whole thing. And then just some breadcrumbs. And then for a wee green layer, spinach. Or there's another lovely thing in the supermarkets, you know, or the greengrocers, Cavallo Nero, which is like
right.
a meter long. You just remove the stalk and shred that and cook it in the same way as spinach.
Mm-hmm.
And I just cooked it in butter, put a wee bit of salt, pepper, nutmeg into it. Nutmeg and spinach are beautiful. And then squeeze that through a sieve to get rid of the moisture, because you don't want it making your pativier soggy.
Oh, nothing worse.
There's another sentence. So then make sure everything's cold. Get your pastry. Divide your pastry into thirds, or into one, a third and then two thirds. The third bit, roll it into a round and then cut round. You're going to go about 25 centimetres, and that's really that's your base, John.
Mm-hmm.
Fire that onto a baking tray that's lined with parchment paper, and brush around the edges about 1 centimetre with with egg yolk,
yeah.
And then just build it up. Then some of the chestnut mixture, some of the squash, some of the spinach. Repeat that. And then the other two thirds, roll that into a round, and that you want to fill that to cover the whole thing, and cover that, you know, just so it, because you've got this nice wee dome of filling.
Uh huh.
And then just put that over the whole top, cut it round, you know, cut round
crimp
to fit, yeah, and then crimp
the
your edges, and then those wee trimmings you can make into stars or whatever you want. Brush the whole thing with egg yolk. I normally would put that into the fridge then. For about, you know, an hour if you can. And if you're going to freeze it, actually, that's your stage to freeze it. You know, cover it up
right.
into the freezer. So before you bake it. And then on Christmas Day, when you've got an unexpected vegetarian has arrived, right. You know, those people have come back from university and last year they're eating turkey, eating all the bacon and butter and everything off the turkey, and then they decide that they're going to become a vegetarian. But then what will happen is you'll make the pativier, and then halfway through the meal they'll have their turkey.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, I know this from bitter experience. But anyway, I mean, just put that in the oven. It'll take about 30 minutes. You get this lovely golden dome, and that's it. Slice it like a pie, and as you know, press down your filling as well, just, you know, to so that that happens. So.
Uh-huh.
And then you can't have Christmas without a bit of gravy, can you?
And this is vegetarian gravy.
vegetarian gravy. So I'm using black garlic, which you can buy everywhere now. It comes in wee tubs, and the black, it's just garlic that has been fermented in balsamic. So it's black and sticky. It's lovely. It's, you know, even if you're just making a roast beef gravy, if you just put a wee clove of black garlic in at the end, it's fabulous. But all you do is just fry some onion and butter, a couple of cloves of the black garlic, balsamic. I've put in a teaspoonful of Marmite, right?
All right.
And then some dessert spoonful of tomato puree, and just fry that all up. And then you've got your vegetable stock. Let it simmer for about half an hour. Blend it up, pass it through a sieve. But you see the Marmite? Uh-huh. Nobody will ever taste it. And it just adds that wee bit of umami sort mm-hmm. of meatiness.
And is Marmite, is this a silly question, is Marmite vegetarian?
Yeah, it's vegan. It's yeast. It's a yeast extract. Oh, people think it's meat, but it's actually completely vegan. And it'll add a wee taste. I've done that in things, you know, and people say, oh, there's just something in that. I never tell them. I'm telling it now, it's a wee bit of Marmite.
Yeah.
Just makes a difference.
That
Even
sounds...
your meat gravy.
Yeah, I was going to say, that sounds like a beautiful gravy no matter what you're putting it on.
Right, exactly. If you were doing that gravy with that recipe, with that, and then just put your roast beef juices into it, it would be equally beautiful.
That's good. That's a squash, chestnut and spinach pativier with black garlic gravy. Recipes up there now on the page, or you can call us here on 03030 80 55 55. There's a couple of questions here now, and one of them is, should you brine your turkey? Do you brine your turkey?
Well, like soak it in... if you have the room, because don't forget, it needs to go into the fridge.
Yeah, it's a beast of a
your
thing too, isn't it?
In the fridge anyway.
You're going to need a big bucket.
You're going to need a bucket, or if you have a big container. Look, sometimes I would brine, you know, the breast or brine the legs, you know, brine one or other of them.
Mm-hmm.
But it does make your turkey quite juicy, John, and it does sort of flavour from within.
Yeah.
But then so does rubbing the whole thing with butter, which is a little handier.
Which is easier, and you don't need to have a bucket out the... Yeah,
I think it's a lovely idea and it does work. I've done it and it's fantastic, but it's just, you know, the thing about it is you always think you're going to do this and you think, oh, I'll leave it outside. Last year, I think it was 14 degrees and, you know, and
yeah.
So you could have a potential disaster in your hands.
You could, yeah.
You know, so maybe you can do a dry sort of brine, you know, rub it, you know, with your turkey, just, you know, with sugar, salt, nice coriander, wee bit of cinnamon, onion powder, and rub that all over it, which is a lot handier, mm-hmm. you know, like sort of a dry brine.
Another question as well. 12 people, Christmas Day, do you do a full big turkey or 2 crowns?
Do you know what? Do 2 crowns. I know some people say that they like that. A lot of the butchers too, John, now do serve the bone out the legs and stuff them, don't
mm-hmm,
they?
Mm-hmm.
And you're not taking, you know, and they have that for your, you know, your the rest of it. But I, you know what, do you know what I would do? I would get I know this is awful, and a lot of people would think this is terrible, but I normally do everything the day before now.
And have it done,
John. Sorry, slice it all up, get it in a tray with a bit of stock, have it in the fridge, and then just fry. Instead of that, I'd stand carving it. And by the time you've carved it, everything else is your mashed potatoes freezing, your roasties have got a congealment on them. So, you know, I think the whole thing is make it easier. So, I see 12 people, I would cook the whole thing and then just, you know, get it all, and then you just fire it into the oven for a while, and you've got your gravy and everything made. And it's not the whole turkey's not taking the whole thing up.
Yeah.
But that's just me. A lot of people like that.
No, that sounds good. That sounds like good advice.
And turkey.
Last question. Where can I get an airtight container for a Christmas cake?
You're going to say something.
This is asking, where can I get an airtight container for a Christmas cake?
See, when I heard the word air, my legs started to buckle.
I'm asking for a friend, obviously. This is...
Oh, right. Have you not got a wee tin or something?
I thought I did, and then I went rooting through the cupboards. Can't find whatever airtight Christmas cake.
Most supermarkets sell those clip ones, which are great.
Yeah. Wee plastic ones.
Yeah, a plastic one.
Wrapping it in a tea towel is not enough.
No, it's not. I think at this stage, John, I get a wee Or well, you're bound to have a wee empty biscuit tin or something in the house, aren't you?
It's too big for a biscuit tin, you see. It's too big for a biscuit tin, but it's, yeah.
Then you have to go to the supermarket.
I'll probably never use this until next Christmas.
Oh, you will.
Stage will have lost it again. I'll have to go and buy another one. And I've kind of neglected my cake, to be honest. I haven't really been feeding it so much.
How many
this week.
Have you fed it at all?
Yes.
Last weekend, I did. Once or twice a week's fine. Don't be going to it. Aye, but it looks good now. It looks good so far.
Yeah, well, the proof will be on the 23rd of December. All will be revealed and we'll know then. Right. There'll be no hiding place.
No hiding place. I'm going to bring some blue cheese to go with it. Don't worry.
Sounds class. Well, listen, thank you very much for your spinach pativier and black garlic gravy. Recipe's up there now, or you can call us on 0330 80 55 55. Thanks, Paula. Chat to you soon.
You, John. Take care. Bye.
That's it from this week's Cooking with Paula McIntyre podcast. For more clips and galleries from The John Toll Show, go to bbc.co.uk/Radio Ulster. And there are loads more BBC podcasts available at bbc.co.uk/podcasts.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.